You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple of topics prepared for you, but, you know, sometimes we have to, you know, go off the beaten path and go into new territories as well.
That's right.
But I'll tell you what, we have a lot of news stories to get to on this week's episode. Jam-packed. It's a crazy week here in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so many reasons why. The first one that I want to mention right off the top of the bat is that this weekend is our big game show marathon. This is it. This is the charity event that we like to do. Where our friends over at the Game Show Marathon put together 24 game shows in 24 hours, and we broadcast the whole thing live on Twitch and on the website GameShowMarathon.com, and all throughout the whole broadcast, we play 24 games in 24 hours, no sleep, and we encourage donations for the charity Child's Play, which provides toys and video games to kids that are in hospitals all across the country. So it's a great cause. It's a fun event. Watch us become sleep deprived. it's all worth it in the name of charity and game shows. So looking forward to it. We start at noon on Saturday, June 9th, with Family Feud, which is sponsored by the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo!
Yeah, we got a sponsorship in there. And there's a couple surprises during that first hour that we already know about. So tune in because there's – yeah, it's going to be wild. That's all I can say.
I'm super excited to be able to go again. I always have a great time playing Family Feud with all you guys. So I really hope people tune in and donate, of course.
That's right.
Fantastic work you guys do.
So, make sure you watch. Go to GameShowMarathon.com. And most importantly, donate. There's a nice little donate now button. Right on the homepage.
Very easy.
Yep. So all you got to do is go through that link and you will be good to go. It all happens this weekend. Man, I am looking forward to it. I can't wait. This is one of those weekends that I circle out on my calendar. Just like all game shows all weekend. That's it. Don't schedule anything else. So looking forward to that this weekend as well. Okay. So, Mike, what are you up to besides the Game Show Marathon?
I don't think I have anything. I just drew a huge blank there.
Fantastic.
No, you know what? I've just been very, very busy, very sleep deprived.
Already?
Already. I know. And I don't even stay for the whole 24 hours.
Yeah.
I guess the one thing that I can say is that I've slowly but surely been plodding my way through Westworld recently, trying to catch up.
Excellent.
To the current episode. And that show just keeps getting crazier and crazier. I'm loving every second of it, though.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, we're both big fans of Nolan. So, and I'm caught up to date. Season 2 has been cray-cray, to say the least.
It has been cray-cray, yes.
Yes.
I'm still an episode behind, but hopefully I can catch up. But it's been just so good. But that's really all I have.
Okay, fantastic.
What have you been doing, Rich, besides preparing for the game show marathon?
Yes, there's other things that have been happening, too. So the first thing I want to mention is Vic DiBattista was in town over the past weekend.
That's right.
Our good friend Vic.
I believe you went to his show, right?
Yes. And, of course, like I said, I took my mom because she's like the newest, biggest Vic DiBattista fan. And she got a picture with him. So we posted on the Crispy Noodle social media channels. Make sure to check that out. And make sure you're following us so that you get those snapshots behind the scenes and what we're up to outside of the podcast. But it's just great to see Vic DiBattista on the stage doing a stand up comedy. Sold out show.
Wow.
At Sugar House Casino, by the way.
Nice.
So it's great to see how successful he's been. He's come a long way since Bread and Milk.
I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. They said snow. I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. Oh my God.
I love that clip.
To this day, that still is one of my favorite little comedy skit jokes things right there. Because it's
good
so,
descriptions.
It's so accurate, though.
It is for the Northeast, yeah.
It is so accurate.
Yep, when snow hits, oh yeah, you gotta get the bread and milk.
Oh my God.
So there you go. Yeah, Vic DiPotato was in town. I can't wait for him to come back. I think he's doing a show at Galdo's Catering in September.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So another chance if you missed out to see Vic in Philadelphia. Go check out that date. And there's another thing I have to mention, too. This isn't enough. There's still more stuff happening. One of my favorite bands, Ghost, came out with their brand new album, Prequel.
I knew this was coming.
And, of course, I had to listen to it and then re-listen to it over and over and over again. And I'm just enjoying it. The reign of Cardinal Copia is in full force. I think Tobias Forge and Ghost, they've done it again, man. It's a great, solid album. It's a little bit more pop, prog, rocky than past
albums. That's not a problem. I personally like that sound a little bit more than, like, the heavier stuff. Just the few tracks, I assume this is from the new album.
Yep, I'm playing a nice little instrumental here for you.
The few tracks that I've heard, I've really enjoyed. What was your favorite track on the album?
My favorite track is actually probably Pro Memoria, which is kind of really almost just depressing because it's a song about death.
Oh.
But I love just it's a very very regal sound with like a church organ in it and everything, and then the seriousness of the song. I think Tobias Forge did a great job with it. I'm also in love with this instrumental
called
Miasma,
really,
which sounds like something from, like, Rush.
I was going to say
it sounds like YYZ.
Is that a guitar or a keyboard there? What's
synthesizer?
Synthesizer.
Synthesizer coming your way.
Nice.
Yeah,
it is very Rush-like, which is a good thing,
right?
I think, in
as
my
far
opinion.
As I'm, yeah. There is backlash coming from the metal community. It's not
right.
Metal,
right?
But I don't know. I don't think it's a detriment to the album.
You've always struck me as the type of person that says, "Hey, band, if you want to evolve your sound, go for it."
Right.
So you're more in that vein of thinking,
right?
I guess.
I think it's better for bands to take a risk,
right,
and try something new.
And along those lines, if I understand correctly, this is the first album in which the lead guy, Forge, I think you said his name was?
Yeah, Tobias Forge.
Is doing this without the original band members, correct?
So there was a lawsuit where the original members of the band left because Tobias Forge was claiming that it was all along was supposed to be just a solo project with hired musicians.
Okay.
And they were saying that, no, we were supposed to be in this together as a band.
Okay, so this is the first album where he's...
Essentially.
Working without
was,
the other guys.
The split was already happening with their previous album, Meliora.
Okay.
This is like the first time he's really been on his own as like... And Unmasked, too. This is the first. This is also the first album where everybody knows it's Tobias Forge, like 100%.
Really? So it sounds like
Before this, everything was just kind of rumors and backstage hearsay.
Right. So I guess this is where he's really trying to make a name for himself as an individual musician and artist.
Yes, and the direction of the future of Ghost, I would say.
Okay.
Especially with the Cardinal Copia character, because that's a whole new direction.
Right.
Before this album, the Tobias Forge would present a character as the lead singer of Ghost. And up until this album, it had always been Papa Emeritus the First, or Papa Emeritus the Second,
right,
or Papa Emeritus the Third.
Right.
But now we got Cardinal Copia.
Yeah, somebody completely new.
Right, out of the chain of the pattern.
Okay.
So it's interesting to see, is this going to develop into a new storyline? And where, you know, will eventually, will he become Papa Emeritus the Fourth? We'll find out. But
that's what happens to a cardinal, right? They become a pope. I don't know.
Well, that's the next step up. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I don't remember.
So that's the ghost lore behind the scenes. But as for the album, Prequel, it's just great pop, prog rock, glam rock, because you got Rats and Dance Macabre. It's great. Go check it out. I think they hit a home run with it again.
Nice.
But then again, I'm also a little biased because I love Ghost. So.
Well, so do the other fans, and you said there was some backlash, so...
Yeah, there's a little bit that it's not metal enough. But you know what? I'm fine with it. And there's a song on it called Faith, which is also pretty intense.
You have to have faith in Ghost.
Yes. Good job, Mike.
I don't know.
Good job, Mike. So there you go. Ghost World also going
Ghost
crazy.
World.
Yeah, it's like everything is happening in June. It's crazy. I don't know what...
June has certainly been a wild month.
That's right. And it's going to get wilder as we get into the first segment because we got some sports news to talk about. Let's go into the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Sports coming at you in your face here. And we're going to hit a couple topics based around Cleveland for some odd reason in 2 minutes or less in the 2 minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. And the clock is on. Go.
All right. This week in the 2 minute drill, we have some Cleveland news. First up, the Cleveland Browns just got a tiny bit better this offseason after they recently signed former Eagles linebacker Michael Kendricks to a 1 year, $3.5 million deal. Kendricks previously spent the past 6 years with the Eagles, where he routinely flashed moments of brilliance, but ultimately he ended up costing a bit too much towards the cap. It seems like this is a good move for both teams. The Eagles save several million dollars, and the Browns get a reliable starting middle linebacker out of the deal, which is where they say they're going to be starting him out. Rich, what do you think of this deal?
Good for Cleveland. Bad on Michael Kendricks, though, because... When the news broke out about the signing, he like went on a rant against like Ian Rappaport and like all these NFL insiders.
It was very strange. I think he said something like, "You will never get my respect."
Yeah,
and I was like, "Okay,
yeah." So,
strange.
I don't know. He's still a weird character as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but well, best of luck to you in Cleveland.
Yeah. All right.
We'll see. But in other Cleveland news, basketball fans have been having a tough time stomaching the NBA Finals thus far. From J.R. Smith forgetting how to play basketball to the rest of blatantly bad calls, this final series has just been a mess. And of course, this only fuels speculation that King James will once again leave Cleveland after the season is over. Philadelphia fans are staying hopeful that the 76ers are still one of the leading landing spots for him. Rich, what is going on?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. As a Sixers fan, you have to root for the Warriors because I want LeBron to lose. I want him to get frustrated and then try free agency.
And come to the Sixers.
And come to the Sixers.
And complete the process.
That's right. So
it's all part of the plan.
Right. If you're a Sixers fan, root for the Warriors and enjoy the NBA Finals. Go Warriors! Yeah! Yeah, but it's, in all seriousness, it is ridiculous. I have to go back to J.R. Smith here for a second.
Oh, man.
What, game one, J.R. Smith gets the rebound, thinks the team is up by 1 point, but they're not. They're still tied, and he doesn't put the layup back in. Instead, he runs back to the other end of the court to run the timeout.
Yeah, he's sprinting towards half court, and LeBron is... You know, first waving for the pass, then he's pointing to the basket, then he tries to call a timeout, but players can't call timeouts. It was a disaster. There was like a good 5 or 6 seconds left, wasn't there?
Yeah. He definitely had enough time to put the shot back up.
Oh, yeah.
After
Absolutely.
The missed free throw. It's just plain just stupidity and just losing focus on everybody. The coach, J.R. Smith. Like, just everybody.
The only person that was paying attention looked to be LeBron James.
Yeah.
And I think there's been just... That was a turning point where he... you could see in overtime and in the second game, he was just like, yeah, this is done.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the I was going to say the Browns. The Cavaliers have just been completely deflated.
The Cavaliers, yeah, have been acting like the Browns in this NBA Finals.
They have been.
Just
they have
weird
been.
And dumb stuff.
I think LeBron just wants to get out as fast as possible.
Well, you know what? Go ahead. Have the Warriors win, and then LeBron gets frustrated, and he'll test free agency. There you go.
It's going to be great. Rich, you're going to have to cheer for LeBron when he comes to the Sixers.
He comes to Philadelphia and wins us a title, I will gladly root for LeBron James. Oh, yeah.
You heard it here first.
But if he doesn't do those, I'm still anti-LeBron.
Well, hold on. Hold on. What happens if he comes to Philly and he just does really, really well and gets us to the finals and maybe...
And he loses? No.
You still hate LeBron then?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
You are a tough critic.
He has to win a title for Philadelphia.
Well, he's just going to have to do it then,
right.
I guess.
There you go. Take that.
Damn.
Oh, yeah.
Vicious.
I'm sorry. This is... He has. I don't think he's as good as Michael Jordan. I really don't.
We all know. Rich.
I know.
We all know.
I don't think so. But you know what? Here's something that we can't agree on. Cleveland is just a weird freaking sports town.
They really are.
And in honor of us having a 2-minute drill, we got to play the Cleveland song.
Fun times in Cleveland again.
Still Cleveland.
Come on down to Cleveland Town, everyone. Under construction since 1868. See our river that catches on fire. It's so polluted that all our fish have AIDS. We see the sun almost 3 times a year. This guy has at least 2 DUIs. The flaps look like a Scooby-Doo ghost town. Don't slow down in East Cleveland or you'll die. Our economy's based on LeBron James. Buy a house for the price of a VCR. Our main export is crippling depression. We're so retarded that we think this is art. It could be worse, though. At least we're not Detroit. We're not Detroit.
There you go. The Cleveland song. There's classic.
Certainly exporting a lot of crippling depression recently.
That's right. Thank you, Cleveland. All right. Now it's time to get to the main topic here in the sports sampler, and I got to preface this by saying something that I think we've agreed upon in the last 5 years of doing the Crispy Noodle podcast. One of the things that we always said was we wanted to do a show that was about sports, about entertainment, about odd news, but we made an agreement that we weren't going to bring up politics. It's one of those things that it just gets heated very easily. Very emotional very easily. So we really try actively not to talk about politics.
Right.
It's just dicey. But this is one of those rare times when sports and politics directly collide and there's just no way to avoid it. And it happens to deal with the Philadelphia Eagles on top of it.
Yeah.
So now there is absolutely no way we cannot not talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's just jump into it.
I can't.
Trump cancels the Super Bowl party at the White House. Now, this is unprecedented. The only similar time when this has happened is the 2017 Golden State Warriors visit that got canceled. But there's a caveat to that. The Golden State Warriors as a team already had announced that they were not going to go see Trump in the White House.
Right.
And then Trump said, oh, well, then the party's off anyway.
Right.
So it's kind of a little bit that the Warriors kind of started it.
Right.
You know? It didn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah. This case is different in the fact that the Eagles were actually planning to send people to the White House.
Yeah. A small delegation.
Right.
But they were still going to send something.
Right. Exactly.
And instead of welcoming that small delegation, Trump just outright decided to cancel the party. But then he does the absolute wrong move again and says it's not because of the small party. It's because of players kneeling
for
the anthem, which none of the Eagles players did in this past season and postseason.
Yeah, I have the statement here where says, quote, they disagree with their president because he insists that they proudly stand for the national anthem hand on heart in honor of the great men and women of our military and the people of our country. So right off the bat, that's just patently false. The Eagles stood the entire year.
Yes.
As a team, they stood every single game in the regular and postseason and the Super Bowl. One of the few teams where nobody knelt or stayed in the locker room. The only thing that they did was Malcolm Jenkins and a few other players stood with their fists raised and Chris Longwood put his hand on Malcolm Jenkins' shoulder. That is the most that you can claim that they did. But they absolutely did not kneel at all. Not a single player, ever. So, right off the bat, just completely false.
Wrong.
Taking a swing at the NFL in general and using the Eagles as a sort of straw man to ignite the fire here. But, obviously, immediately, there was backlash against this statement and an outpouring of support for the Philadelphia Eagles. Everybody chiming in left and right with different statements. The Eagles kick things off by responding in a sort of non-response, just by saying, "It has been incredibly thrilling to celebrate our first Super Bowl championship. Watching the entire Eagles community come together has been an inspiration. We are truly grateful for all the support we have received, and we are looking forward to continuing our preparations for the 2018 season." So they didn't even touch the topic.
Which, by the way, someone pointed out on Reddit, this is a scary world we're living in. The Philadelphia Eagles and their fan base are taking the higher road than the president.
We threw batteries and snowballs, as everybody likes to remind us.
Yeah.
You know?
And snowballs at Santa and all this stuff. And right now, we have the moral high ground over the president of the United States.
Yeah. It's a
low bar.
It is.
But it's that statement is true.
Yeah. And that's sort of been the response online, is people like, wait, reason and moral high ground coming from the Philadelphia Eagles and their fan base? Everybody's sort of scratching their head online.
This is the world we live in.
This is the alternate reality in which we live in. Yeah, it's just, I don't even know where to go with this. Everybody is responding to this. Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney issued a really pointed statement taking digs at Trump and talking about how the Eagles were underdogs and he's really proud of the Eagles' activism on the field, or off the field, rather. It went even further when Kenny's chief of staff, Jane Slusser, went viral after tweeting a photo comparison of Trump's inauguration compared to the Broad Street celebration after the Eagles won the Super Bowl, saying, "Our party was bigger than yours."
And it was.
Fly, Eagles, fly. And it was. Statistically, it was. It's just numbers. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. And then to continue, just the confusion and the controversy around this, Fox News then comes out with this photo of Eagles players kneeling as they're running the story and saying how the Eagles won't attend the White House, which it's not that they won't attend, they were uninvited. And they tried to play it off like the Eagles were kneeling during the national anthem.
Which is flat-out lie.
Which, again, is a flat-out lie, and many Eagles players were quick to point out that was not them kneeling during the national anthem, but them kneeling in prayer before the game. Fox News, of course, issued an apology, deleted their tweet, and had to backtrack on the whole thing. But it's just really sad and upsetting that there's so much false information being put out there by both the president and the media about what the Eagles did and didn't do during the season, and trying to make them this sort of boogeyman through which to claim the NFL doesn't support the troops and doesn't support America. And I can't believe we're still having this conversation after a year of this.
Yes. It's just mind-boggling. It's getting to this point.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And the fact that the president had to just bring it, oh my God. He freaking just made like the worst move on top of the worst move.
Right.
You know, he essentially doubling down on this whole national anthem protest thing.
Yeah.
Just could have been it's just the wrong freaking move.
And then to make matters worse, he comes out, or not he, but it's so hard to keep all this straight. I think it was the press secretary released a statement about what went down and why the Eagles weren't coming, to try and clarify things. This is after an entire afternoon of statement, responding to statement, responding to statement. But they threw this line in here near the end that really ticks me off and ticks a lot of Eagles fans off. It says, quote, "In other words, the vast majority of the Eagles team decided to abandon their fans."
Which is not true at
all.
That
is just the absolute worst position to take right now with a team that just won the Super Bowl. especially with a fan base as passionate as the Eagles fans.
Yeah, it's just all false.
I mean, I wish we could play the whole clip of Rich Eisen. I listened to before the show. Go and find Rich Eisen's clip on the whole thing. But he goes through all the things which the Eagles have done for the Philadelphia community and the country. You know, from Chris Long donating his entire 2017 salary to players being involved in building playgrounds and raising scholarship funds and visiting kids in hospitals, to Malcolm Jenkins actually going to Congress to talk to politicians on both sides of the aisle to discuss social inequality and social justice reform. I mean,
what about Carson Wentz and his Christian organization?
He raised $850,000, I think it was, for I think it was Haiti, wasn't it?
Yeah, that just recently. Right. And providing food for the homeless in Philadelphia.
Right. I think the Eagles recently had an autism run. In the rain, they raised $2.5 million. So to say that the Eagles don't support their fans and to somehow insinuate that the Eagles are unsupportive of American values.
Yeah.
It's
alien.
It is truly bizarre,
right,
and upsetting.
And that's why it pushes the level here. This right. is the thing that really just bothers, I think, both of us. I'll speak on behalf of you, I guess.
Of course.
Is like we are not trying to, you know, crap on the president, you know?
Yeah.
There are definitely things we disagree with him politically, and, you know, we've made fun of him on the show in the past,
right,
you know, for things that he said and botches that he's done and things that he's misspoke on. But now it's getting to the point where he is just blatantly talking full-blown lies,
yeah,
about football, about our team, about the Super Bowl champion, about the magnificent season this team had.
Yeah, and I mean,
and it's we can't avoid it. I'm just
right.
There's no
way around it. There's no way to talk about this in any other way than for what it really is, and that is a president and administration that is trying to politicize football. You know, as everybody always cries that the players are politicizing football, but here's the president of the United States that specifically mentions the national anthem protests as he's uninviting the Super Bowl champion team from visiting the White House because he didn't get the largest group that he anticipated.
Right.
Like, it's just so totally foreign and bizarre for this to be happening, for a president to be taking...
This is not normal.
No, it's not. And it's important to remember that this is not normal for a president to take time from important issues like like a potential denuclearization summit with North Korea.
Oh, yeah, that's supposed to be happening.
To talk about football.
Yeah.
I mean, the two bozos on this show, we can talk football.
Right.
But the person who's supposed to be helping to denuclearize North Korea should not be focusing on football and should not be making false claims about an organization that has done nothing but literally and figuratively stand up for the people of their community. So it's highly upsetting. And I just want to reiterate something that former PA Governor Ed Rendell said. He said that this shouldn't really come as a surprise because, quote, the president should have expected this when he called some of the players sons of bitches. This is the world we live in.
When did the president call the Eagles sons of bitches?
Not the Eagles specifically, but when the whole national anthem thing first went on
at the beginning of the season. So those that protested.
He called them sons of bitches.
Okay.
The president called NFL players who knelt during the national anthem sons of bitches.
Yeah, not very eloquent.
Say it again. The president called football players sons of bitches.
Yes.
Every time I say the words, I'm like, did I read that? Yep, I did. That's what happened.
That is an actual news byline.
Yeah.
It's just everything is just so bizarre to me with this whole story.
It really is. And the greatest shame of it all, and if you'll allow me this moment to say this, is that it really detracts from the point of what the demonstrations were really about. It was about a group of young men trying to raise awareness for social inequalities that they have perceived in their lives and which they feel need to be recognized and that I don't think everybody is really aware of given our different walks of life. And instead, it took that and twisted it to being something about anti-military and anti-American, even though the fact the movement started when the person who began it all, Colin Kaepernick, met with military members, and they suggested the concept of kneeling to show respect but also to raise awareness. So it really bugs me that it's being – the narrative, again, is being twisted and twisted to make it something that it's not, to portray these players as anti-military and anti-American and you know, protesting. And it's not about that. It's about raising awareness for inequality, and they're doing it peacefully, they're doing it quietly, and they're doing it respectfully, and they're well within their First Amendment rights to do so. But we have to keep on having this conversation.
Yeah. It is absolutely ridiculous that you know, Colin Kaepernick first took the knee, what, two years ago, 3 years ago?
I think it was 2 years ago.
Like,
yeah.
And we're still dealing with this crap?
Yeah.
Like come on. I can't believe it's still a hot-button issue at this point.
Yeah.
And now it costs the Eagles their official Super Bowl champion trip to the White House, which is absolutely unfair for the Eagles and for Philadelphia and for this magnificent season that we had.
Yeah.
This should have been the cherry on top.
It should have been. And instead, people are trying to portray the Eagles as villains, and it's just very upsetting.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm really trying to not get into, like, political discussion here.
You can't avoid it.
But
go ahead.
I can't see how you can defend Trump in this. I really cannot. Like, you're literally going – if you defend Trump on this, you are defending a guy who was so scared and just being a wimp that he couldn't deal with, you know, a large number of the Eagles organization not showing or a large number of the Eagles organization not showing up to the Super Bowl party at the White House. That he had to cancel it.
It's
so petty.
It is.
That is something a fourth grader does. That is not something a mature adult should be doing.
All you need to do, and I mean, this is, again, absolutely crazy.
Yes, this is all bonkers.
But yeah, you're right. This is someone who was afraid of, you know, you imagine like somebody in like grade school doing this. You invite a bunch of people. And nobody shows up,
yeah.
And you get angry, and you
oh,
say,
well, I wasn't even going to have it anyway.
Fine, it's just going to be a party for myself. And all you need to do is go look up the video of the event, and it's Trump in the middle of a stage, surrounded by military members, trying to sing God Bless America, and failing to do so, surrounded by people in suits. It's like he got upset, and he just threw a pity party for himself, and then failed to sing God Bless America.
Yeah. The whole thing is bizarre.
It really, really, truly is bizarre and sad, and it is. You said it perfectly. It's petty. It's cowardice to find out nobody's coming to my party, so I'm canceling the party.
Yeah, it's my party, and I'll cry if I want to. Like it's literally that whole song.
Yeah,
Trump is acting like the girl in that song. So I don't know how you can defend him. I honestly don't know. And that's not even, you know, scraping politics.
That's not a political statement.
Right.
That's just a human statement.
Right. I'm not trying to be political here. Like that
as
is,
a
like,
full as a full grown man.
Right. As a mature adult, he is not acting like a fellow mature adult.
No, he's not. and it upsets me that this was used as I think a stunt.
Yeah.
Judging by the fact that there were hardly any Eagles fans in that crowd, but.
Yeah,
you know.
It's just a shame that it happens to our Philadelphia Eagles at their moment of glory that they finally won the Super Bowl.
This is a franchise that defines the very essence of wholesomeness.
Yeah,
all the work they do in the community, in terms of, you probably read about it all the time, all the good works they do in area hospitals and playgrounds, and they have the, you know, going completely green at the stadium with the solar and wind power, the autism run, the, you know, working with local police forces and visiting Congress to talk about social inequality. I mean, this team is so active in giving back to the community, and to drag them out and put them in the spotlight of this trumped up political stunt to vilify them when they did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Is very troubling.
Troubling, hurtful, and just something that we as Philadelphia fans aren't going to stand for.
Right. He picked with the wrong fan base at the wrong time.
That's right.
Hungry dogs run fast.
That's right. And as far as we're concerned, you know what? We don't need your White House. If the Eagles organization,
we have City Hall and Broad Street.
We even have something better than that. And we mentioned it on our Twitter feed. If the Eagles want to have a real party at a house, come on over to the Crispy Noodle House. Mike's mom will whip up some sausages.
That's right.
And espresso. And
that's a terrible combination.
I don't know.
Yeah, but we'll work it out. We'll work out the kinks.
And we'll have a party here if the Eagles want to do it. That's our open invitation.
I'd be down for that.
Yes. Any Eagles want to attend, let us know. Open invitation, let us know.
I forgot to mention the most important statement of all, our own.
That's right. So don't come to the White House. Come to the Crispy Noodle House.
That's right. All are welcome here.
That's right. And with that, that will wrap up the sports sampler. Hopefully we didn't get too political there for your taste, but you know, it is just one of the few times it went there.
It's unavoidable.
But that will wrap up the sports sampler. I assure you, things get better. We'll be coming up with the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. I got some crazy stories there that you need to listen to. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Game Show Marathon is an annual charity event where four seriously obsessed game show fans recreate 24 of the world's best game shows live online. They do it all to benefit Child's Play, a charity that supports children's hospitals and domestic shelters around the world through the power of play. The broadcast begins June the 9th, 2018 at noon Eastern at GameShowMarathon.com.
I gotta get the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I gotta get the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Oh my God. I gotta hit the Crispy Noodle Podcast. They said podcast.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, we are done the sports sampler, and we are moving right along into the main course of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, which is a meal for your mind, so why not? You had the little appetizer there with the sports sampler, and now moving on to the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
Guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the entertainment entree.
Jumping into a mini segment What is pissing me off.
I assume this is something that's pissing you off since I was feeling pretty good.
Yeah, we are moving into, this is just a quick little segment, a little side detour, if you will. Because to start off the entertainment entree this week, someone sent me this ridiculous ad, and it is real. Remember Now? Do you remember Now?
The music thing. Like, yeah. Like Now 54, and it has all the collection of modern day songs.
Right. It would be like Now 54 or something. Yeah. And it would
I don't know what number they're up to. Wait, are they still going?
Yes, they are. They are still going.
What Now are they up to?
I think they're on 100. I think they've hit
100. No, they're not. Yeah. Shut up.
Yes. But here's the thing. Now they've branched off from the main numbered series. They've branched off into speciality nows.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
Like different genres?
Yeah, and themes and stuff like that. Okay. And since Father's Day is coming up, they have one for this is what I call dad rock. And this is no joke. This is the actual 30-second ad that's being played.
Okay.
The biggest rock anthems, the greatest rock stars. Get dad rocking this Father's Day. Now that's what I call dad rock.
So there you go. That's the 30-second ad that they're running for this. Okay. Now it sounds. So far, it doesn't sound too out there. You have your classic rock. You've got Queen. You've got.
I mean, that is definitely what you would consider "quote unquote" like dad rock.
Yeah, you've got Queen. You got U2. You got Rolling Stones, Bon Jovi.
Right.
Okay. So far so good. All right. But I decided to go a step further and look into the actual detailed 59 song playlist.
Okay.
This is where I'm going to get pissed off.
Okay.
All right. It's specifically called Dad Rock.
Right.
Rock.
Oh, God.
Rock is in the title.
Okay.
Did I emphasize this enough?
I can already see where you're going.
Rock.
Yes.
Rock is in the title. All right. Here you go. All right. Take a look at some of these. All right. Everybody's Changing by Keane. How to Save a Life by The Fray.
I don't think I'd consider that rock.
That's not, no. It's not rock at all. That is not rock at all. And it's not dad rock.
No, it's not. It's definitely not dad rock.
Dad rock would not focus on like something sad.
When people say dad rock, I picture like 60s, 70s, 80s, like arena rock type stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean?
How about this? Take Me to Church by Hozier. No. Absolutely
not. Did that song like just come out?
Yes,
like
that
a few
is
years
not,
ago.
That is not a classic.
That is not you, a dad rock song.
You get the hell out of here.
First off, that's not rock. I would classify that more as like pop alternative. And secondly, I've never heard a dad listen to that song ever.
Right. No. A dad would not listen to that song.
That's the Take Me to Church. Da, 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 yeah. That one. That yeah, one. That's not. I can't picture my dad listening to that.
No. All right, here we go. This is where I. All right. Oh my God.
Taylor Swift.
Back to back, 45 and 46 on the track list.
Okay.
Complicated by Avril Lavigne. You get the hell out of here. That is not dad rock.
What?
Yeah.
That is so weird.
If your dad is listening to Complicated by Avril Lavigne, you have some serious problems.
I'm trying to drag up my memory of the song.
I don't remember you be so complicated.
All I can remember is the Weird Al parody.
Oh, a Weird Al cover. All right. If it's the Weird Al cover version of
it's not.
I can understand that. But the actual Complicated by Avril Lavigne, no.
In the Weird Al parody, he orders 100 pizzas and he gets so constipated.
That's a dad
That's
song.
Good. That's a
That's
dad
a
song.
That's a dad rock
That's
song.
That's a dad song.
Not this.
God, that okay, whatever. Avril Lavigne. I've never heard a dad listen to Avril Lavigne.
Right. And number 46, Torn by Natalie Imbruglia.
I don't even know who that is.
Torn, you know.
I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. That one.
No, I think you need to sing a couple more lines, Rich.
Well, in terms of this playlist, no. It's not dad rock.
I don't know what it is, but I'm just going to trust your judgment there.
You don't know
I've never heard of
it. Look up Torn by Oh, my God.
I don't know that one.
Yes, you do. Nothing's fine, I'm torn. Yeah, boy, this is such dad rock right here.
This is peak dad rock.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, boy. This is exactly what dad wants to listen to on Father's Day.
Right?
Get the hell out of here. This is the dumbest playlist.
I don't know if I would really consider this rock at all.
It's not rock!
It's not rock.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So, yeah, you're right, though. I heard that, and I immediately knew what it was.
There you go.
I didn't know the name or the artist.
So
please keep telling me any other track list anomalies.
Those were the big strikes. I couldn't believe they're listing this as rock. Get the hell out of here. This is not rock at all.
See, when you say dad rock, I think like CCR. I think like Bon Jovi.
Yeah, Bon Jovi. Right. The commercial.
I think like Tom Petty.
The commercial they had was in the Roundhouse.
Right, exactly.
You know, you had Queen, Stones, U2, Bon Jovi. Like, all right, I could see that.
I think they ran out of
and then they
songs.
Just,
they're just like, you know, it's...
To me, it's like somebody who was in charge of this got like the first like six songs and then like got frustrated and was like, F it. I'm going to just put random stuff.
Maybe they were trying to have a good representation from like each decade because like, well, there are younger dads now. Like, there are dads. Their dad's our age, Rich.
Yeah. Oh,
and so maybe they were like, what would the 90s
they're
dads...
They're so in touch with
what would
with
the
their
90s
Natalie
dads
and Avril Spirit.
What would the 90s dads listen to? That's the question they were asking themselves. We have to represent the 90s dads.
If they're listening to Torn and Complicated, they need to get a mental reevaluation.
Be so complicated.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know the words to this song. I just know the general melody. That's all. That's all I got.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's what's pissing me off. This is
I'm gonna get that, Rich.
I hate you. I hate you.
I'm gonna
so
buy
much.
It. How much do they cost? Now that's what I call dad.
I don't.
What is it called?
Yeah. Now that's what I call dad rock.
Oh.
That's literally what it's called. And dad this rock. Is horrible.
I'm gonna buy it.
I hate you. I hate you so much.
They have a whole website, Now Music.
Yes, they do. And
I'm gonna get that for my dad's for Father's Day.
There you go. Yeah.
Frank
he's gonna be like,
it.
Who are all these people? My dad doesn't know much music anyway.
Yeah, so there you go.
He pretends he likes Katy Perry and Lady Gaga, but if you press him, he won't know a single song.
Well, then why don't you
guarantee
show him Avril Lavigne then at this rate? So it'll all work out.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger. No sausages. No sausages. No sausages. Sausages!
There you go. It would be no sausages because it's all female artists.
There you go. Perfect. He gets exactly what he wants. No sausages.
How about this? How about this? We bring back season two of the Monday Music playlist, and it's your dad, and he has to come up with all female playlist.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask him.
And we're gonna call it the No Sausages playlist.
No sausages. No sausages. No. No sausages. Sausages!
It's only going to be three artists. It's going to be Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, and whatever the most popular female American Idol singer was.
All right, he'll be in charge of it. The Monday Music playlist.
We should have had him on for the segment. Ask him if he knew these songs.
Well, there you go.
It's too late for that.
Too late.
When I buy the album, we can have him back on.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, buy the album.
I have to find it in U.S. dollar amount.
Buy the album, and we'll do it. Dear God.
I'll do it.
Dear God.
I'll spend the $12, or the 12 euros. How much is 12 euros in American money? Real money?
25.
Oh, that's a bit steep.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
But there you go. That's what's pissing me off. That was... Just, I couldn't believe that's a thing.
Now that's what's pissing Rich off. Volume 1. Listen to some hits as... Trump uninviting the Eagles to the White House. And dad music.
There you go.
It's just clips of Rich going, it just pisses me off.
This is dumb. This doesn't make any damn sense. But there you go. That's what's pissing me off on this week's episode. All right, let's get to the segment where Mike will let you know what's coming up in movies, TV, and video games, folks. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Who would have guessed? Like,
Surprise! Like, Jesus Christ!
All right. And there we go. You all right over there, Mike? You, like, literally, like, swept a whole bunch of papers away. Are you all right?
Yeah. Okay. It was just funny because...
I didn't know what was happening. I just saw a bunch of papers just move.
Well, because I forgot that I had the music for this segment.
Oh, excellent.
So I was trying to throw my papers to the side so I could find the music and play it in time.
There you go. Well, it's a shocker.
Oh, my God. What a shocker!
All right. Well, what do you got, Mike?
First up in movies. This is a really cool one coming out. Hereditary is a new drama mystery horror film about a family whose matriarch passes away, and then the other members begin to unravel cryptic and terrifying secrets about their ancestry. Critics are enjoying the new take on the horror genre, propelling the film to a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes and an 89 on Metacritic. I watched the trailer to this just before this segment, and I gotta tell you, this looks super creepy, but really, really interesting. It's a completely different take on horror films, where it's not jump scares and, like, creepy Japanese girls going, ah! You know, it's...
Okay, what the hell was that?
You know, creepy Japanese girls that do that, like, weird, like raspy
what?
Breath. Like, don't make me do it again. You know, where they go, like, like that? It's creepy.
Okay.
Shut up. I'm so sleep deprived right now. It's a really cool looking movie that focuses on, like, the hidden hereditary horrors that get passed down through generations. So it seems really, really cool. Go check out Hereditary in theaters this weekend. Also in theaters, Ocean's 8 is a brand new crime heist thriller spinoff from the Ocean's 11 trilogy. This time the story follows the estranged sister of the main character from the trilogy as she plans to pull off a heist of New York City's Met Gala. Rich, I know you're a big fan of Ocean's 11. What do you make of this all-female spinoff movie?
Yeah, I was a big fan of the Ocean's trilogy. I'm a little bit leery of the spinoff, Ocean's 8, but it could work. The original director, Steven Soderbergh, is back for this one, so I'm hoping he will infuse some of his magic into this spinoff, and we'll see where it goes. I'm sure there's got to be a couple of cameos from the original, from the characters from the original trilogy. I would be hard pressed if they made this completely separate.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they would have to put in a few just as a little bit of fan service, right?
Right.
You know, in order to draw the bigger crowds. But we'll see. So far, at the time of recording, there haven't been many reviews released, so I don't know how it's faring with critics. But if you are looking for a fun, popcorn-y heist thriller, go check out Ocean's 8 in theaters this weekend. In television, this must be a game show weekend because along with the 24-hour game show marathon, there are three game shows returning to TV. Celebrity Family Feud, The $100,000 Pyramid, and To Tell the Truth are all premiering on ABC Sunday between 8 and 10 p.m. Rich, are you going to have enough in you to watch these three game shows after doing 24 hours of them just before it?
I think so. I think my plan is going to be we do the 24-hour game show marathon, we clean up, we head home. I'm thinking maybe I'll be home by like 3:30, 4, get 3 hours of sleep in, and then maybe wake up just in time for 8 o'clock for the debut of these shows.
And you wake up and it's right in the middle of Family Feud. What better way to start the evening?
Correct. That's a lovely Sunday evening.
That's right. That's right. So don't miss out on all the game show action this weekend between the 24-hour game show marathon and all the game shows premiering on ABC this Sunday.
Game shows for everyone.
That's right. Game shows are always fun for the whole family. There's always something that everybody can enjoy.
That's right.
You know, something for everyone. Also, in This Week in Entertainment, we have some video game news. A new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. So make sure you get your free games if you subscribe to either of those. But the big release this week is Vampire, not sure, is a new... Well, I've heard it pronounced both ways. It's spelled with a Y, in case anybody's wondering. It's a new action RPG coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. The game puts players in the shoes of a Victorian-era London doctor who is infected with vampirism. The game asks players to tackle the main question of who they should save and who they should feed on in order to gain strength and new powers. critics are praising the social aspects of the game because all the non-player characters have individual stories and relationships with other non-player characters. And the more you learn about these characters, influences how much experience and how much power you gain from drinking their blood. It's a new system that they're trying out that really brings the whole world to life and makes it feel like every side character has their own story separate from your own. So critics are really enjoying that aspect of it. Unfortunately, the slightly clunky combat is preventing the game from being a true hit with Metacritic scores, you know, right in the middle of the 70s. But still, if you're looking for something different, something to kill some time over the summer months, check out Vampyr on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment this week in entertainment. Real quick, we have some relatively breaking Walking Dead news. Coming a week after the sudden news that Andrew Lincoln was going to leave the show after season 9, we have another major character that looks like this is our last season as well.
Yeah, so it was recently confirmed that actress Lauren Cohan, who plays Maggie on The Walking Dead, will be leaving the show after just 6 episodes, very similar to Andrew Lincoln. This makes the third main character to leave the show in the past one and a half seasons. Basically, this is chalked up to contract negotiations falling through and the fact that Cohen landed a leading role on an upcoming ABC pilot. I imagine that Norman Reedus' reported $20 million pay bump didn't help matters. But this is really upsetting to hear that, you know, right on the backs of a major character being killed off, the announcement that Andrew Lincoln is leaving the show, and now Lauren Cohen. These are, you know, a lot of characters that are from that original first, you know, 2 seasons, the core group that's been through basically the entire series together.
Almost, yeah. It's crazy. I don't know how the show's going to survive. I think this is the end.
This is, I mean, if people were, you know, sounding the sirens last week, this week I think even more people are concerned about the future of this show. The common rumor online is that the civil war that was hinted at the end of last season is going to result in one person's death and one person leaving the group. I don't know how it's going to break down or how it's going to play out. I really hope it's not going to be like some sort of standoff where they both shoot and they're both dead.
They both shoot each other.
I would like to think that they would handle it with a little bit more grace and nuance than that. But
you guys are so stupid.
It's going to be a Reservoir Dogs shootout.
Right. Quentin Tarantino,
and it's
going to
be so stupid.
Quentin Tarantino is randomly directing Walking Dead, apparently.
No, because then it would be good. Instead, we get crap for the past
Everybody
season
dies.
And a half. But, you know, we'll see. This is highly upsetting for big fans of the show like we are. I think it's safe to say that the both of us are disappointed to hear this news, but also we sort of saw it coming after all the recent moves they've been making.
I think this is the end of the road for this show.
I mean, you have
the top stars bailing for next season. Just end it. Why even try to put together something, you know?
Yeah. And there's even more.
Is Norman Reedus really going to be able to handle this show all on his own?
No. Yeah. Here's the thing about Norman Reedus. He plays a really good tough guy, silent tough guy, Rick's right-hand man. But Andrew Lincoln, Rick Grimes, who played Rick Grimes, I mean, he really did a phenomenal job in the acting department, really holding that cast together and really carrying the emotional weight and burden of the show. I always thought he did a fantastic job.
Oh, yeah.
In all of his scenes. So losing somebody like that, and then, you know, the next person I would say is one of the more talented actors on the show, Lauren Cohan, her leaving. I mean, you're losing some of your best talent right there. Not to mention arguably the 2 biggest characters. I don't see how they continue on. I don't think Norman Reedus can lead a show. And I think that this only makes the speculation surrounding the other characters that much more intense. As I'm sure you're aware, there's a lot of speculation online. what will happen to the actress who plays Michonne. You know, she had a breakout role in Black Panther.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. And, yeah, will she leave?
And then if Danai goes, then people obviously have to question, well, what about Melissa McBride, who plays Carol, as the only other person from the first two seasons left? Will she want to stick around and do this weird, awkward spinoff with Daryl? So you can see how it's starting to snowball now. That's never good for TV shows like that, when rumors and speculation start to snowball, because we saw what happens when that gets ahead of the show, like with the Lucille killing at the end of season 6.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want speculation to pile up like that. It kills the show's momentum. Absolutely kills it.
Yep. So some startling news for Walking Dead fans. Doesn't look good for the future of the show. All right. Real quick, we get to talk about E3 coming up. The big video game convention where video game companies like to put forward what's the latest and greatest that will be in the near future of the gaming world. I believe the first thing you want to talk about is EA.
Yeah. So EA, Electronic Arts, had a bit of a rough go this past year with their Battlefront 2 controversy, which surrounded the loot boxes and just their general business practices. So going into E3, the company that needs the biggest showing has to be EA. They need some really big announcements. They need forgiveness from the fans. How do they go about making that case? One of the ways they can do that is BioWare's new game. BioWare, of course, is developing this game that EA is publishing, Anthem, supposedly the game which killed Mass Effect to come into existence. Anthem is set to premiere some new gameplay video, a lot of gameplay details. How can Anthem right the wrongs of EA? Is it even possible for Anthem to right the wrongs of EA? There's a lot riding on this one game.
Oh, yeah.
You have BioWare's future at stake. You have EA's fan forgiveness at stake. I mean,
this has to be a home run.
What would make it a home run for you? As a BioWare fan who played all of Mass Effect, what would Anthem need to do to be a home run?
It's got to be as good as like a God of War or a Mass Effect game. It's got to be just a great story, great gameplay, mechanic system. Because we lost Mass Effect over this.
Right.
So I want to know what was worth sacrificing Mass Effect over.
Right. Exactly. And I think more along those lines, Anthem needs to really show that it can differentiate itself from BioWare's past games and also other current EA games like Titanfall, the one where everybody's riding in big mechs. It's getting a lot of comparison to that. It's getting a lot of comparison to Destiny with its random loot and with the way that it works with collecting weapons and constantly upgrading stuff. So Anthem has a lot that it needs to do. I think that BioWare can do it if EA lets them do what they do best, and that's character stories. It's a little troubling that so far Anthem is being portrayed as a loot grind type game like Borderlands or Destiny. But you don't really have to hold out hope that BioWare will show off the story elements at this E3. BioWare, you know, just like EA, has had a really rough go of it recently. They had the Mass Effect 3 controversy. They had Mass Effect Andromeda be a flop. So Anthem needs to do a lot to win back fans for both BioWare and EA. And I think it can, if EA just stays out of the development side.
Right.
Which is a big ask, of course.
Right, because EA likes to get their hands in everything.
They really do. But I'm really hoping it does well. And I really hope they clarify a few things in terms of gameplay. Exactly what it looks like, this new RPG open world that they're building. You know, is it going to be more Mass Effect Andromeda with a lot of open, empty spaces where you just run around and kill random things? Or is it going to be a living, breathing world like a Grand Theft Auto or something more focused like a God of War? I hope that they clear up some of those things. That's one way they can win fans back. One company though that doesn't need to win a lot of fans back is Sony. As we know, as big PlayStation fans, this has been a big year for Sony, coming off the hot releases of God of War and Detroit Become Human. PlayStation is firmly in the lead this console generation, but the big question surrounding our favorite publisher is how can they keep the momentum going? And I think the easy answer to that is just by talking about their big titles, Death Stranding, Ghost of Tsushima, Spider-Man, and most importantly, The Last of Us 2 will all be getting highlights at E3. I can't wait to find out more about these titles.
It's going to be Last of Us 2. Everybody's looking forward to hearing about how they're going to try and follow up that game. Because that game ended the PlayStation 3 era perfectly.
Right.
It was just like, it was so good, so stellar, and it was just the perfect way to finish off the life of the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, it was one of those generation defining games. You know, like this is what defined that generation, that last step into mature gameplay and storytelling. So do you think people are looking for The Last of Us 2 to do the same thing? Does that sort of put Naughty Dog and Sony at a disadvantage by putting too much hype into it? Or do you think that they can handle it?
I think they can handle it.
If there's one developer that can handle it.
Right.
It's going to be Naughty Dog, right?
Right. And I say go for it. They did well on the first one, so.
Yeah.
You know, why not the second one?
Yeah. So, but I like the fact that you singled out Last of Us 2 because, like I said, or like you said as well, Last of Us defined that generation. It closed out the PlayStation 3 life cycle. So do you think this could be the last big Sony exclusive for the PlayStation 4? I mean, you look at this list, Death Stranding, Ghost of Tsushima, Spider-Man, Last of Us 2. You have a whole bunch of other ones already announced. You have the Spyro remaster. You have, Dreams coming out. All the big studios sort of have their games announced for the next year and a half. Does Sony really make any more big announcements, or do they just kind of ride this to 2020 and a PlayStation 5 announcement?
I'm sure they're going to make a couple of more announcements because I don't think the development for PlayStation 5 won't be released until 2020. So, yeah, I think it would be hard to believe that Sony wouldn't have something else in the tank for 19 and 20.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. Because usually, you know, if the first Last of Us was any indication, that was sort of the key that PlayStation 3 had reached its pinnacle. I hope that The Last of Us 2 isn't the last big exclusive for PlayStation 4. I'm hoping that there will be one or two surprise announcements in there. Speaking of surprise announcements, though, there's some really crazy long shot E3 rumors swirling around right now. The one that I want to get to, though, is this one that I just recently read. I don't know if there's any validity to this, but I want to throw it by you because I know you're a big fan. There is a very sketchy rumor that mentions a game called BioShock Resurgence for PlayStation VR. Now, Take-Two has long said that BioShock is a key and permanent franchise. Could we be seeing some new BioShock announcements? It's been a very long time since the last BioShock game.
Yes,
I think
it has.
It's been five or six years.
Well, yeah, it was back on the PlayStation 3, so it's definitely been a while. I would like to see a return for BioShock, but I hate to say it, I don't think it's going to be as good if it's not Ken Levine. Ken Levine, to me, is BioShock.
Yeah.
You know?
Just look at the BioShock trilogy of BioShock and BioShock Infinite, and then BioShock 2, just sort of sandwiched in there awkwardly, that didn't live up to
the status of either one. Right, it wasn't.
That's the one that Ken Levine didn't do.
Right, Ken Levine didn't do it, and it essentially was erased from the records when you think about it. It's funny, when people say the BioShock trilogy, I like to think of it as actually BioShock Infinite, and then the downloadable
Burial at Sea. Yeah.
To me, that was the true third act in the trilogy.
It was, and that third act completely cut out BioShock 2.
Yeah.
It's like, we're just going to bridge BioShock and BioShock Infinite. And
screw BioShock 2.
Yeah. I agree. I think many fans agree with that. But would you poo-poo a BioShock game then, just because it's not done by Levine?
I would be more weary of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he just owned that universe so well. He knew exactly the story that he wanted to tell.
He was the visionary. He was the director. You're right. His fingerprints were all over those games.
Right.
And, you know, just like BioShock 2, a new BioShock will probably be good, but it won't have that certain X factor.
Right.
You know, it's not going to have the same emotional and intellectual impact that the other ones do.
Yeah. So I would be more weary of it.
Yeah. But any BioShock news is still good news in my book. So still looking forward to that one, especially since I have a PlayStation VR. BioShock. And
you did a little song and dance there.
Well, yeah, because it's fun because, you know, there's it's tough finding games sometimes for VR, and Rapture or Columbia in VR would just be one
crazy
terrifying.
Yeah.
But could you imagine like something with
splicers
like
splicers coming at you?
Could you imagine though something with Sandra Cohen in VR?
Oh my god.
Yo.
Yeah, now we're
okay.
talking.
Now I kind of really want this this rumor to be true. But real quick before we go, are there any other rumors or any other games in particular, just any sort of news you're hoping to hear from E3, Rich?
I would like to see Rocksteady make a Superman game. That's
really?
That's been one of the rumors in the pipeline.
It has been swirling around. Are you hoping they can do for Superman what they did for Batman?
Yeah,
Rocksteady did the Batman Arkham games.
Yeah, and those were so much fun.
They really put superhero games on a new level.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was like superhero games and then Batman Arkham, and people went, oh, wow, like superhero games can be like real games.
Yeah.
you know
legit storylines, legit character acting,
right?
Yeah,
really thoughtful gameplay, gameplay systems that all work together so seamlessly. The big complaint has always been, can Superman be a video game? Because he's invincible, right?
Yeah,
so like,
but
what Superman story? What, like, how do they make Superman interesting?
Everybody in the world has kryptonite.
That's what I don't want. I don't want to be like, oh, Superman, all these villains have kryptonite bullets, and it's like, really, really,
damn it.
The one rumor that I heard floating around is that maybe a young Superman trying to learn about his ability type thing, and you don't get damage so much as you try to prevent collateral damage. I saw some people suggesting that online, and I'm like, I don't know if that sounds particularly fun. But I trust Rocksteady will do something amazing.
Yeah, Rocksteady has a good track record. So
they do.
We'll see if that – well, first off, we'll see if that rumor is even true. But,
right, right.
But secondly, if it does come true, I think that's a pretty capable hand you're leaving them in. So
yeah. So yep. A lot to look forward to with E3. Keep your eyes peeled because it's going to be an entire 4 days of constant announcements. Definitely tune into your favorite streaming service to find out all you can about the big three video game console developers and see what big surprises are in store for gamers.
That's right. So a big weekend coming up for video gamers with the E3 conference. But for us, that will wrap up the entertainment entree. Don't go anywhere, though, because coming next, I've got the non-fortune cookie odd news, and I've got some interesting stories you need to hear, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? My Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, your sister's ass, the Money Express. Very pissed off thick here. You know what ticks me off? Everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got a podcast. But no podcast ever asked me to be on but the Crispy Noodle podcast. That's what ticks me off. Podcast that don't ask me to be on.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A scuba diver in Florida is suing a utility company after he was sucked into a quarter-mile-long pipe that took him inside a nuclear power plant.
No, you don't get to sue the utility company for that. You're just stupid.
Christopher Leakin said he was scuba diving off the coast of Hutchinson Island when he went down to investigate three large shadows underneath a yellow buoy.
Yellow, isn't it like a warning color?
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
There are radioactive symbols everywhere.
I thought it meant go closer.
Yeah. Okay, that's what radioactivity means.
This must be like the place where they take in the water to put in the cooling towers.
Probably.
He could have been like the Hulk.
Swimming Hulk.
Do you think Hulk is afraid of water? He's all muscle. I don't think he could swim.
Yeah, I don't know. Has the Hulk ever swam?
Avengers 3. Hulk takes swimming lessons. Black Widow's like, come on, you can do it, Hulk.
Hulk swim!
Hulk drown!
Hulk drown!
Hulk drown!
He uses his last breath! Oh my god. Oh
Hulk and drown.
Hulk drown. Maybe he gets sucked back into the nuclear power plant.
Double Hulk?
Double Hulk, yeah.
Hulkception?
Hulk, no understand plot of movie.
Hulk have existential crisis about concept of reality. And then Hulk drown.
Best line of dialogue Hulk has ever had.
Hulk not no sound effect.
Hulk want to know if top fall over.
Oh man, Hulkception.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunchy.
The Game Show Marathon is an annual charity event where four seriously obsessed game show fans recreate 24 of the world's best game shows live online. They do it all to benefit Child's Play, a charity that supports children's hospitals and domestic shelters around the world through the power of play. The broadcast begins June the 9th, 2018 at noon Eastern at GameShowMarathon.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree, and it's time for dessert here on this meal for your mind that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode. So let's move right into it. What is it? What is it time for, Mike?
Well, it's time for one of my favorite segments. It's time for It's time for the wacky, the wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. And in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, ensuring that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to dive into them, hear what you got for us this week. Let's get it started.
All right. I got a couple of quick hit stories here.
All right.
Let's do this first one here in Australia.
Ah, Australia, mate.
Yeah.
Down in the down under.
Down in the down under?
Down in the down under.
You're super down.
That's right.
Super down under.
Everybody's super down in the down under.
Okay.
That's what happens when all you eat is shrimp on the bobby. I feel like my Australian accent is getting worse and worse the more I try to talk in it.
Well,
give us your best Australian accent, Rich. Come on now.
You call that a night?
I don't know.
I can't do it.
That was good.
I don't know. The story, though, from Australia. This is a true story. When a Google Street View car began mapping her neighborhood, Australian woman Karen Davis decided to pull up her shirt and expose her big breasts to the passing camera.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I mean, it makes sense, right?
Usually before the photos are uploaded, Google's algorithms trigger the pixelization of compromising images, such as faces of individuals and license plate numbers. However, the 38-year-old Davis's breasts, however, received no such touch-up upon being published online.
Wow.
So you could get a free look at, you know, at her breasts. Hooray!
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I feel like if somebody chooses to do that, then Google should be like, cool, there you go. Here you go, world. Because think about it. It's not like they caught somebody accidentally in the nude. Like, right. She intended to do that.
She flashed her right. boobs.
So Google should be like, cool, have at it, people trying to map something in Australia.
Here's a little surprise
Here's
for
a
you.
Little surprise. What's that? You want to go to the corner store? Bam, boobs.
Yay, boobs.
I mean, that's a good Google search right there,
yeah,
right?
Everyone gets happy for boobs.
Exactly. I don't think I've ever seen a person get sad for boobs.
Right. So she told her local newspaper, quote, I look at Google Maps a lot, and I wanted to be on there, and I thought that this was going to be the best way to do it. I was also thrilled to tick something else off of my new bucket list. Okay. She also dismissed criticism of her flashing. She says that, quote, all the flat tit chicks think I'm disgusting. Well, they suck.
Wow.
She's very blunt, right
to
the point.
Right to the point.
Yeah. All you flat tit chicks suck. and then she also followed up in the interview, quote, I hope Google will send me a free t-shirt.
Why? Because they're like, oh, you obviously need one.
Right. You showed your boobs. You must need clothing.
Is that how it works?
Is that how Google works?
You showed your boobs. That's a t-shirt.
Yep. You need clothing.
Right. Exactly. What's this person's name? I want to look her up.
Karen Davis. I don't know if you're going to be able to find her.
I just want
maybe put Australian Karen Davis.
Australian. Like I can spell Australia, Rich. I just want to see if what she looks like. If she's like, you know, good-looking.
Well, unfortunately, due to the publicity of this news story, Google has now corrected the image to be censored.
Aw.
However, various news forms still have the original photo online. So if you dig deep enough, you'll find it. And Google has not indicated whether or not they will send her a free t-shirt. Did you find it?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a happy mic.
I didn't find the actual picture. I just found a picture of her.
Not the boobs.
No, not the boobs. No boobs here.
Well, if you dig deeper, I think you'll find it.
Okay.
All right. I got another quick story here, and it involves us going to Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah. You gotta have some Florida stories.
Where else would we be but in Florida?
That's right. And this is just weird, especially if you get a chance to see this guy's mugshot. You'll have a better idea. Getting arrested for relieving yourself in public is bad enough. But Florida man Gabriel Bravo was also forced to remove all of his piercings when he was booked into a Miami jail. He was busted in Miami Beach for public urination. If you see his mugshot, you'll see that he has extensive piercings of silver balls on his face.
Oh, my balls!
And when you get arrested, you have to take off every single piece of jewelry.
Right.
Upon being booked into the Metro West Detention Center, all of his jewelry collection was inventoried and placed into storage when it will be returned to him when he is released. The cops counted that he had over 50 silver balls piercings on his face and his neck that had to be removed at the time of his arrest.
Oh, my ball!
So,
all right then.
50 silver balls all over his face.
I found the picture.
You found
it? He looks like some type of weird X-Man character. Like, he's just got, like, I can't describe it, like, lines of silver balls, like, coming out of his, like, cheeks.
Yeah.
Just, like, going down his face. Like, if you imagine, like, almost stripes of silver balls going diagonally down his cheeks, that's sort of what's happening here.
Oh, my ball!
But, yeah, so when he gets released from jail, then he'll get his precious balls back.
He'll get his balls back.
Yep.
So when you get arrested, people take your balls.
Yep.
And
true
then
story.
When you get out of jail, they give you your balls back.
Yep.
Where do they keep your balls?
In the inventory.
They keep them in the inventory?
Yeah.
They take your balls, they put them in a bag.
That's the punishment. You got arrested. All right, I got another Florida story here for you.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And I think you're going to like this one. A Florida man is charged with selling inmates around the country, quote, fake legal documents that were soaked in a synthetic form of marijuana so inmates could get high after simply eating them. Oh, yeah, you need to have those legal documents on hand.
That's right. Those tasty, tasty legal documents.
Yes, very tasty.
It's like, Bob, why are you eating your birth certificate? Say, like, legal documents. Like, what type of legal documents? Like, is he just, like, sending birth certificates and passports to people? And they're just eating them?
The Miami Herald reports that 46-year-old Danny Angel Rodriguez was using fake papers that listed actual criminal defense attorneys, various legal paperwork, mail, and other items, and pot-soaked them. Is that a thing?
Pot-soaked them?
Yeah.
I
guess.
Guess
it's a process? Yeah, pot-soaked?
It just seems like a weird phrase, pot-soaked.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right. But I guess you can, I guess. If you have the chemical, I guess you can just...
Just dip it in there.
Dip it in there, yeah.
Dry it off, I guess? I don't know.
Also, some were fake obituaries or funeral announcements.
Okay.
During their investigation, FBI agents said that they seized over 35 different packages
wow.
from Rodriguez, all which tested positive for synthetic marijuana.
Just don't do drugs, people.
Not in jail.
Not right.
Shouldn't that have been like a lesson?
You're probably in there for some type of drug crime, and then you're going to go and do more drugs.
Yep.
Like, come on, enough is enough, people.
To further add insult to injury, Rodriguez was already about to be sentenced to jail because he pistol-whipped a federal judge.
Jesus.
Yeah, this guy.
How does that even happen?
Yeah, this guy.
Did they let him into the courtroom with a gun?
Just charges at the
charges
judge.
Charges at him? The judge is like, this is the worst day of work ever.
Why is this happening?
Like, somebody really messed up their job if a dude is able to pistol whip a judge.
Yeah, that security guard's going to get fired.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Whoever the bailiff is in that courtroom,
yeah.
You're fired.
Like, one, how do you let them get in with a gun? Two, how do you let them charge the stand and get to the judge?
The stand's higher than the ground
right.
level.
Like, there's some work you got to do to get to the point where you're able to pistol whip a judge. You know?
Yeah.
First, you got to find your way into the courthouse. Then you got to get through security. Then you have to somehow, without anybody noticing, rush the stand, get around the stand. Because you're right, usually it's like elevated or like you can't get directly to the judge without climbing over something.
Yeah.
It's like a whole process.
Yeah, that bailiff is fired.
Yeah. He's
worst bailiff ever.
Terrible. Oh, man.
All right, I got one more Florida story here for you.
Okay.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And boy, man, you know it's tough right now for salespeople. But this guy, I think, took it a little too far. Three salesmen from a fake meat delivery company are facing charges after deputies reported that they, quote, robbed customers by forcing them to purchase beef and seafood.
What do you mean forcing them?
Here's how we're going to do it. The eyewitness victim, Shirley McGathy, tells her story in the news report. She's 85 years old, and this is what she said. She recounted her recent visit from one of the three salesperson named Ronald Van Wee, who claimed that he was a salesman for the company Gourmet Grocery.
Okay.
She says that, quote, he was so pushy and angry and mean. I wanted to go up the ramp to get into my house, and that's when he stopped me before I could get up the ramp.
Wow.
And that, yeah, so there you go. Physically, Jeez. He's in the way of her getting back in her
right,
home.
Right, that's super aggressive.
She says that, quote, he was very scuzzy and pushy. He then, according to McGathy, she then said Van Wee barged in and said that, quote, look, I will sell you $400 of all these beef sausages, and then you can have this case of seafood for free.
Sausages!
Wow, what a deal.
Such a deal.
$400 of sausages, you get free seafood.
What are you going to do with $400 worth of sausage? That's a lot of sausage.
Yeah, wow.
That's enough sausage for an entire year.
Yeah, but you can get seafood, too.
Right, you can get the free seafood.
Yeah, surf and turf.
That's right.
The old surf and turf deal here.
That's a terrible deal. Where are you going to keep all your sausage and seafood?
She says that, quote, she wasn't going to buy it. She said that, quote, I don't want any sausages and I don't want any seafood. Please just take it and leave me.
No sausages. No sausages. No. No sausages. Sausages!
That's actual audio.
Yeah.
No sausages.
No sausages!
That's exactly what she said.
When that didn't work, he said, well, how about you just buy the beef sausages then? And she said, no, I don't want the sausages. Please just leave.
No sausages. No sausages. No. No sausages. Sausages!
See that? Sales is actually easy. You just follow somebody home, corner them in their house.
Block their ramp.
Block their ramp and force them to buy $400 worth of product off of you. Simple, right?
Yes. She kept repeating, I don't want any of this. Please leave. Please leave. That's when Van Wee then stated that he refused to leave her property until she purchased something from him.
Wow.
I mean,
she could just call the cops, though.
That's when McGathy then decided to write him a check for $200 just to get rid of him.
Jeez.
She said that, quote, I didn't know what he was going to do. He was manic. I thought he could have pulled a weapon on me.
Scary.
Yeah.
Man.
Two other gourmet grocery salesmen were busted for the very same charge. Eric Harmon and Andrew Safaraz. What a name.
That is a, yeah.
So all three of them are now facing charges in this gourmet grocery scheme. So,
man,
yeah,
they're
not going to get away with it.
No. That's a horrible sales tactic.
Yeah.
Following somebody home and...
I'm going to follow you home, block your ramp, and then force you to buy something. Or I'm not going
to
leave.
Cost her $200 just to get the guy to go away.
Yeah.
Man.
But you could have got $400 worth of beef sausages.
And got the free shrimp. Or
sausages!
Just assume it's shrimp.
It's some sort of seafood.
Box of seafood.
just
it's a mystery box.
A mystery box of seafood.
You know, like, that's a new craze, like all the loot crate stuff where you get, like, the mystery box.
Loot crate seafood.
Right, exactly.
Yum.
Every month you get a mystery crate of seafood. You open up, it's like, ooh, I don't know. Mackerel!
Yay!
I was trying to think of, like, an obscure fish, you know?
Yum.
Yum. Delicious. This is just a can of tuna. Hooray!
Smelts.
Smelts.
All that I've wanted for Christmas.
Oh, man. Fantastic.
Yay!
I can't think of a worse thing to get in your mystery seafood loot crate. You know what sucks is that if it were real, the loot crate thing, it would always be something terrible. Like, have you ever gotten a loot crate?
No, I never got one.
They're never good. They're, like, almost never good. One time I, like, plunked down for a Mass Effect loot crate. I'm like, okay, I have this. I have no need for this. I only ended up, like, keeping, like, one or two items. It was really sad. It was awful.
Okay, I guess we're never going to be sponsored by Loot Crate now.
Nope, never. I mean, I'm sure some loot crates are great, but the one that I bought wasn't very good. The point I'm making is that until they offer a seafood loot crate, I'm not interested anymore.
Fair enough.
So they better get on that seafood loot crate.
All right, we're leaving Florida. We had three stories there in Florida.
Yeah.
But
Florida, I mean, recently Florida's really been active. Every week has been like three stories.
Oh, yeah. But now we're moving on.
It's the summer heat getting to them.
And we're moving to Canada in this next one.
Oh, Canada. I make the same joke every time.
Okay.
I sing the first two words of their national anthem, and I don't remember the rest
of it.
Just
give
up. Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. Keep up the good work, Mike.
Yep.
this is probably one of the most disgusting stories we've ever had.
Okay.
Here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Well, I mean, we've had a few gross ones.
Yeah, but this one's pretty bad.
I mean, people pooping in streets and a whole bunch of nasty stuff. But this is the worst, you say?
This is one of the worst ones.
Okay.
Transport Canada says that it is actually investigating a case that involved possibly a container of human feces falling from an airplane and dropping onto the open sunroof of a woman's car.
Oh.
There's shit everywhere! Damn it! There's shit on the windows! Oh my god! My house is full of shit! He's shit everywhere! Look what he did! He shit all over the wall!
What is that from?
Dumb and Dumberer.
Dumb and Dumberer.
Yeah. Last month, Canadian Sue Allen and her son were driving back from lunch. When they stopped at a red light. Their sunroof was open, and it was a nice spring day.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Then the unthinkable happened. All of a sudden, they felt drops falling from the sky, and all of a sudden, they realized hitting their face and the car and all over the windshield, it was poop.
There's shit everywhere! Damn it! There's shit on the windows! Oh my god! My house is full of shit! He's shit everywhere! Look what he did! He shit all over the wall!
Oh man, that would be my reaction too, if that happened. Oh, I'd be so upset. I'd probably just drive my car off a cliff with
yep,
me still
it.
In it. I think that's... I think that's a rational decision.
Life is over.
At that point.
And that's it. You're never going to get clean ever again.
I know, right? Because, like, how many people's poop was in that poop bomb?
Yeah, it was all poop bomb.
It's just like all these random people's poops. Oh, God. That's awful. And it's in your car?
Yeah.
Like, your car's never going to be the same.
Seriously, this is accurate. A freaking accurate drop. It lands
right in the sunroof.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, my God. I just can't get the idea out of my head that there's so many cracks and crevices in a car.
Oh.
Like, you're never going to get all that poop. Like, months later, you're going to be like, what's this? Is this it's more poop. You know what I mean? Like, in between the seat and the center console, like, there's poop in there, Rich.
It's going to linger in there.
Your seatbelt buckle thing, there's poop in there. Your cup holders in little crevices you can't get in. There's poop in there, Rich. There's poop in the gear shifter. There's poop in there.
I'm so going to isolate all this. Alan said that, quote, we had it in our eyes, in our hair. There was so much poop everywhere. Alan and her son had to drive to the nearest car wash in shock.
What's a car wash going to do for you? Do they keep all the windows down?
Yeah, right. Right at that point, yeah.
You just roll down the windows, Billy.
Yep, you're going to be part of the car wash tonight.
How do you explain that, though? You just pull up, you're like, I'm going to need some interior detailing.
For all of us.
For all of us. Do you have any showers?
At the car wash, they sprayed each other off and washed the vehicle. They were all crying. It was disgusting, according to Alan.
They were all crying. I just have this image of them just sobbing as they're spraying each other down with hoses.
Alan also recalled that her son threw up from all of the smells.
Then he had to wash out the throw up too.
She also said that that they were worried that they might have contracted something, so they went to the doctor.
Well, yeah, they just like breathed in and ate and had poop in their eyes.
After a swab was taken, they had learned that they all had conjunctivitis in both eyes.
Ugh.
There's shit everywhere! Damn it! There's shit on the windows! Oh my god! My house is full of shit! He's shit everywhere! Look what he did! He's shit all over the wall!
Oh man, I feel so bad for them. I probably would have died. Like, I just would have died right then and there. I can't deal with stuff like that. I would be too grossed out.
Alan said that Transport Canada initially told her that no planes were flying over where the incident occurred, but now they are doing a full-blown official investigation because of this report. So there might have been an instance where there was a plane that was not supposed to be at that location.
Doesn't poop get frozen, though? Like, in planes? Like, it doesn't stay as,
it,
like...
If it's...
Because we've had stories where, like, poop bombs fall.
Right.
And they're, like, solid and they,
and
like...
blue.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they call it the blue ice.
So why is Transport Canada storing liquid poop?
Well, so those instances is usually where it's flying really high off of the ground.
So this is a low-flying plane.
This had to have been a low-flying plane.
This is like a strafing run.
Yeah. Yeah, quick flyby.
Target in 15 seconds.
Target acquired.
Bombs away. Just some guy sticking his ass out over a hole. I don't know what's worse. Dropping a tank of poop or some dude just like purposely crapping in your sunroof.
Oh, no. This couldn't have been one dude.
This was at least three dudes.
Yeah, they're saying...
How much poop is here?
They're saying this poop went everywhere.
Oh, God.
So I don't think you're looking at one dude.
The vents. It's just poop in the vents. Just, I mean, think about all the little tiny, like, in between all the buttons and the little steering wheel controls you have, those fancy steering wheel controls, like, there's just poop everywhere. If you name a place in your car, there's poop in there.
Just make sure.
I would have to burn the car.
No.
Just set it on fire.
Yeah, just clean, get the detail, and then just
sell it.
Immediately drive to a dealership.
Right.
Just get it off my hands.
I'm
going to
trade in this car. Like, why? It looks great. Oh, you don't want to know.
Yeah, no, I feel like a new car.
Don't ask questions. I just feel like a new car.
I need a change of pace.
Right.
A change of smell, too.
And a change of clothes.
Yeah, and a change of clothes, too.
I find it impressive that they were able to make it to a car wash. I mean, I guess you have no choice at that point.
Oh, yeah.
At that point, you just got to suck it up and you're like...
Right, you're covered in poop.
I'm just going to have to drive covered in poop.
Right.
Like, I'm not kidding when I think I would literally die if that happened to me. Like, what would you... Like, oh, God, I don't know. I would just burst into tears and just shrivel up. Mm-hmm.
This is why I don't drive with my windows open.
Yes. And also because I hate nature.
Yeah. All right. Oh, get some fresh air, they said. Yeah, guess what? Poop's coming in.
Poop's coming in.
We're never driving with the windows open ever again.
I want to hear you use that. I want to hear you use that argument. And somebody's like, oh, let's roll down the windows. And you're like, no, poop's coming in. And they're like, what? What poop is coming in?
Oh, you didn't hear about Canada?
You didn't hear? That's right, Canada. Sending their poop over.
Right. With their low-flying... planes and flybys. It's happening.
Canada's sending their poop over.
All right. I got two stories left here, and they both involve something going up the posterior, which Mike explicitly warned everybody about, but I guess people still aren't taking it seriously.
Listen to me. Stop it. Stop putting things up your butt. Okay? Don't do it.
You actually said that in a cold open.
I believe it. Sounds like something stupid I would say.
Listen to me. Stop it. Stop putting things up your butt. Okay? Don't do it.
Well, this is why.
Yeah, here
you
we go.
You said two stories?
Yeah, I got two stories here for you.
That means in the past week there were two separate instances where somebody said, you know what? I'm going to put this thing up my butt. This is a good idea.
Yeah.
That thought should never cross your mind.
This one is India. A man from India had to have a 6-inch handheld shower head removed from his butt.
Oh my.
After he claimed that, quote, he accidentally slipped in the bathroom.
Oh.
Shower head is supposed to be up there.
Yeah.
Shower head.
Not down
spraying
there.
Spraying water on you. It's not placed near your anus.
Yes. The 26-year-old from India had to detach the PVC pipe that was connecting the shower head to the wall to get to the hospital.
What? What is happening?
Yes.
So how did he get to the hospital with this thing sticking out of his butt? Like, how big was the pipe that he had to detach? Like, I know there were 6 inches up there, but, like, was there anything hanging out?
A PVC pipe, yeah.
Oh, man. That sounds super painful.
Upon admission to the Ram Manohar Lohia Hospital, the man denied that he had put the shower head there himself.
Uh-huh.
He said that, quote, he accidentally slipped and he fell onto it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think
there's
true.
There's no way he slipped with that sort of accuracy.
Yeah.
Like, think about it. Like, oh my God, what a weird set of circumstances. What a coinky dink.
Million to one shot, though.
Right. What was he doing with the shower head that he slipped and it just happened to go right up there?
Spreading the butt cheeks.
Spreading the butt cheeks. Like, gotta get nice and clean in there.
Whoops.
Oh, jeez.
His vitals were stable, but unfortunately, scans showed that the shower head was 6 inches deep into the man's pelvis. Luckily, it did not cause any internal damage.
That sounds awful.
The man was put under general anesthesia while doctors removed the object. Luckily, no serious damage was caused, and the man returned home 48 hours later.
Jeez.
So, that one
showerheads. Some shower heads are huge.
Yeah.
Like,
he somehow got it up the butt. I don't know how, but it happened.
By slipping.
Yes.
He slipped it right up there.
There was a bit of a nastiness last night, yes? Some very extreme nastiness, yes? Yes.
Yes, extreme nastiness.
He was really trying to get clean everywhere.
Yes.
So, like, let me clean up there.
Spread the butt cheeks.
Spread the butt cheeks. Oh, God.
All right, and the second story is England.
Ah, jolly old England.
How do you like that? England.
They put something up their crumpet?
Yes.
I wish I could take that one back.
No. No. Keep that one.
There's a lot of ones I wish I could take back.
An English man penetrated his bowel after he, quote, lost control of a 30-inch bendy sex toy after a boozy night.
Oh.
The 53-year-old man
lost control.
Yes.
He's like, I can't control. It's just thrashing around.
The 53-year-old man complained of severe lower abdomen pain and admitted that he had inserted a non-battery operated sex toy right into his rectum. Initial examination revealed that he had an elevated heart rate and tenderness in the anus.
How do they test that? They're just like, let me know if this hurts. Poke, poke, poke.
Poke, 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 poke.
You're like, oh, yeah, it's feeling a little tender, but if you could just do it a few more times just to make sure.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
The doctor just slip on a glove and they just start
poking,
finger blasting boop, you in the boop, ass. Boop, boop, boop. Poke, poke, poke.
Further scans revealed that his bowel had completely collapsed.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Right. This,
I don't know what that means, but that sounds really bad.
Right. This is getting serious here.
Oh, no.
Doctors became further concerned when an x-ray revealed a smooth shadow in the right side of the man's abdomen.
It's still in there?
Yeah. It went further up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh. What do you mean further up in his abdomen?
Yes.
That's like a ways up from the butthole.
Yes, it is. I'm glad you got good analysis over there.
Right. Well, like, where in the abdomen? Like, did it travel far?
Yes.
Oh, my God, this sounds terrible. Stop. It's causing me physical pain.
As a result, they had to do surgery on him to remove the unusually large sex toy. And in doing so, they had to correct his colon and remove 8 inches of his large intestines that had been damaged.
All that because he lost control of a sex toy. That's what it sounds like when you lose control of a 30-inch sex toy.
Yeah.
How do you lose control? What was he doing that he lost control?
Yeah, he was just pushing it more and more.
Jesus. What? Were all 30 inches up there?
Not all of it, but I would say a good amount of it was.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
He had to be given antibiotics after the surgery to prevent infection and kept under observation for 11 days.
Whoa. That's a long hospital stay.
Yeah.
That's super awkward. It's like, oh, sorry, I'm in the hospital. And they're like, oh, why? Well, have I got a story for you?
Yeah, 11 days. Yeah, you got to call out of work for that.
That's 2 whole weeks.
Yeah. I got to miss the next 2 weeks of work.
People get worried. They start asking questions. Why are you in the hospital? Is everything all right? You're like, yes, yes, it's fine. I lost control of a 30-inch sex toy.
Who hasn't?
Who hasn't? I mean, come on. Yeah,
it's happened to the best of
us. Just a regular Saturday night. 1 second, you got a good firm grasp of the last 18 inches, and then the next second, you know, God, it's gone.
Yeah, where did it go?
Where did it go?
I'm always misplacing my things.
What did I do with that massive 3-foot sex toy?
Yeah, where did it go?
Oh, my God.
Doctors.
Just swallowed up.
Doctors noted that the sex toy had been inserted into his rectum when he was, quote, under heavy alcohol influence.
I think that's the only way you can get something that size up there.
Which led to a loss of control. The toy had, quote, visibly disappeared from, oh my God, into the man's rectum by the time he got to the hospital.
So all 30 inches.
Just about, yeah.
Are inside. What do you mean just about?
Yeah.
They said they lost visual.
Yes.
Commander, we've lost visual of the sex toy. Like, what is it, like cave diving? And all of a sudden, it's like, oh my God, where'd it go? It's gone.
It's gone. Where did it go?
Sir, we've lost visual. Repeat, we've lost visual.
Hoo-ah.
30 inches. That's really freaking long.
Yes, that's 2.5 feet.
That's like the size of an entire abdomen.
It's gone.
Any longer, it's poking up out through his throat.
The hell of a crumpet.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a crumpet.
I think
terrible.
I think at the end of the day, when we conclude this odd news, I think we all need to re-listen to Mike's very stern warning.
Listen to me. Stop it. Stop putting things up your butt. Okay? Don't do it.
There you go. If you followed that, we wouldn't have the last two odd news stories.
You wouldn't have a 30-inch sex toy in your crumpet.
Yes. So there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news. But let's before we wrap the episode up, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned? You don't believe me.
What I learned is that...
I had to reread the story.
What I learned is that somehow it is possible to fit 30 inches of sex toy up your ass.
Possibly. Yeah, I guess so.
It disappeared. It says it disappeared, Rich.
If you believe in it, it can happen.
Don't give up on your hopes and dreams.
That's right. Especially ones that involve your crumpet.
That's right. That's right. Treat your crumpet right, people. Don't stick foreign objects up there. At least not 30 inches of the foreign objects. That's just way too much.
Yeah.
You can't lose control. Oh, my God. That is quite alarming. You know what else is alarming? Is that Canada is sending their poop over here.
Yes. How dare they? Stop it.
That's terrifying. And that's, we learned that's why you don't drive with the windows down.
That's right.
Because you're afraid of Canadian poop.
I am
coming into the car.
I am never driving with the windows open ever again.
I hope you explain that to everybody that gets in your car. Like, look, there's a strict no windows down policy. I'm afraid of the Canadian poop.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
All right. You should just put up a sign.
They're not sending their best.
No.
All right?
No, they're not sending their best. They're sending their poop. They're sending their feces. And some of them, I guess, are, I don't know.
Crappy people.
There you go. That's mean.
Yes.
But Canada is lovely.
Canada started this.
They did. That's right.
They're the ones that dropped the poop.
That's right. They started with their poop bombing.
Yeah.
We can't have this. Anyway. Yeah. I just, between poop bombs and 30-inch sex toys, I just don't know where else to go with this. Oh, I do know one last thing that I learned. I learned that I have to go buy the album Now That's What I Call Dad Rock, just to piss off Rich.
Yeah, go ahead.
And we're going to go over the track list, and we're going to listen to the whole, all 59 tracks.
You put that on in your car with the windows down, and guess what? You're going to get some poop coming in.
Is that a direct threat?
I don't know how, but it's going to happen.
It's like, what's Rich doing? Oh, my God, no.
Hey, Mike.
Have I got a surprise for you? That's an odd news story.
Yeah. And there you go. That's what we've learned on What Have We Learned on this episode of the Chris Mueller Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And there you go, folks. Another episode of the Chris Moodle Podcast in the books. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you have enjoyed all of our random commentary here from sports, random little bit of politics there, entertainment, getting pissed off a little bit there.
How far have news, we fallen?
And then poop a little bit there. So
we started talking about politics and ended by talking about poop.
Yes.
That right there sums up the entirety of the Crispin Noodle Podcast.
That's right. Thank you for tuning in on this week's episode. If you want to learn more, check out our Facebook and Twitter and Instagram pages. For Facebook and Twitter, all you got to do is search for at the Crispin Noodle. And for our Instagram page, search at the Crispin Noodle Podcast.
You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can get videos, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of the Crispy Noodle Podcast into our promos. All you got to do is go there and enjoy some of our two-minute promos, and it's quick, easy listening. If you don't have time for the full podcast, it's like around 2 minutes. You can easily listen to on the go.
Yeah, they're like short, like greatest hits little clips.
Yeah.
You know, so many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast, but if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. You're going to want to follow us this weekend because we got the game show marathon.
Yep.
So I'm sure if you follow us on Twitter and Instagram, you're going to find some behind-the-scenes photos of our time there. Which also reminds me, make sure you tune in at noon this Saturday for the full broadcast of the 24-hour game show marathon. And that you donate. Go to GameShowMarathon.com. Hit that Donate Now button. But for now, that'll wrap it up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That will do it. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week. Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia. Okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.